Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mech Show. Yes, another week is gone. We haven't even noticed. It's already mid of January. Like, time just flies. It's crazy. This is, I think, the second show of the year? Should be. I think last week we had the first one. We did our predictions and everything. I think that was last week. Feels like, yeah, should have been. Feels like it's like a year ago almost already. Some of the predictions are probably already been proven wrong. Who knows? Like, given our track record, that's very likely.
Yes.
And yes, I'm here with you or with everybody. I'm the interim host. I don't know how many interims there are. I've lost track because Jeff is out taking care of family today. Hi, Jeff. I hope you're doing well. And Ewan. Don't know where he is right now. I think he was on some conference or something. Anyway, I have a really awesome panel with me. Yes, Ben, also you. It's you. Hi, Ben. How are you doing? I heard you were not feeling too well yesterday, but you're better today, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm a little bit better. Say I was not feeling well last night was, putting it mildly, literally I felt like I was drowning in my own lungs.
Ew,
but
that's not good.
New day, ready to do some talking.
New day, new Ben.
Yes, and I'm ready to do talking because I actually can without it hurting.
That's very good. Did you get your replacement body out of the shop and now you can go back to normal?
Yes. Little to be known, I do have it. God, what's the name of that show on Netflix? Altered Carbon?
Yes.
Yep, I actually have clone bodies, mm-hmm. And then I just put my stack into them.
See? That is very smart. I should do that too. That would make so many things so much easier. It's like, yeah, okay. You could go like on a really long hike, everything is hurting, you're like, oh, I don't care, like I'll just switch bodies and keep going. AI Ben, yes, correct.
Yes, well, I do hallucinate and make crap up again.
I think we already have a show title. We're only, I don't know, 2 minutes in or something. The man in the red shirt, but not in a Star Trek way, back from CES with the latest and greatest vaporware that there is on the planet and some good stuff that hopefully will ship. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm great, Patrice. I'm great. You mentioned that Jeff is out taking care of family and you hope he's doing well. I'm more concerned for the family he's taking care of because if Jeff is taking care of them, you know... I wish you well, family. I hope it works out. Other than that, yes, back from CES. And so far, I have avoided any serious illness, which is a small miracle in itself.
That is,
given
yes.
that earlier this week, they published that that the attendance was 141,000 this year. So that's a lot of people coming from all over the world with a lot of different bugs all coming along with them.
Yes.
So. About 140,000 attendees and about 140 billion different diseases that they brought.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yep. There,
exactly.
There will be at least 139 cases of the con crud.
Yeah.
Yes.
So as far as I'm concerned, I went to Vegas and won, and I never got near the casinos.
Yeah, I mean, the odds were very heavily against you on this one, so that's good. Yeah, that's actually very rare. You're probably one of the few unicorns that managed to do that.
Yeah, well, no, never mind. I'm just gonna leave that.
But how was the show? Like, was it interesting? Did you see anything really cool?
You know, Patrice, it's funny. You get back and first of all, with serious fatigue. And so all the interviews that we did, right now, I think the count is just a little over 50. They all sort of roll together because first of all, you're seeing old friends, but you're seeing different iterations on things. You're seeing new stuff. You're seeing things that, frankly, you know, will never ever see the light of day. But some interesting ideas. So I would hesitate to try to pick out anything that I thought was just, oh my God, because it's still kind of muddled up in my brain. So the at the risk of sounding like I'm self-promoting, definitely check out all the CES interviews. They're going to be rolling out over the next few weeks as we get them edited. But just the whole idea is just to give you a quick look at some of these products, not to be exhaustive, and just give you some things to think about, maybe to watch for. But yeah, just honestly, a lot of really, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Asp did the first couple interviews you've already posted, and I've listened to not all of them, but some of them. And yeah, there was some stuff was like, yeah, okay. And some stuff was like, oh, that sounds interesting.
Well, that's it's an interesting point because, of course, with this, I mean, the size of CES, it's impossible to get do everything.
Yes.
And as weird as this might sound, I tend to try to stay away from the things that get real buzzy around the show,
Yeah, makes
because
sense.
everybody's gonna talk about those.
Yeah.
And I'd rather go to the smaller developers or the people that are just a little more offbeat and see what they're in. That's where some of the most interesting things come from.
Yeah.
Admittedly, that's also the ones that are maybe a little less likely to see the market, or at least in an on an immediate basis, but it's a lot
Yeah.
more interesting.
Definitely more interesting. I'm definitely with you. I mean, I think like what everybody's talking about, the big companies, the big announcements, like yeah, literally everybody's talking about. And that sometimes drowns out all the others that are there. And so it's also good to for you, I mean, that you are the one that pays attention to them and uses the following that you have to highlight at least some. I mean, even all of the rest you can't do because there's way too much. But at least some of the smaller, maybe less notable ones. And yeah, some of them might not ship, but the idea might still be good. And who knows? Like someone else later on does the same thing or sees that and says, hey, it's actually not a bad idea. And then does it.
Yeah,
So.
my primary example is last year, not this year's, but last year's, the big buzz was the humane pin. Oh my God, the humane pin is amazing, amazing. Well, it's a
Where
year
is
later
it
now.
now?
The humane pin has crashed and burned,
Yes.
pretty badly. But everybody was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
the humane pen has been humanely put down.
Not so sure it's been humanely put down, but
Old Yellers.
okay. How do I say usually? Sent upstate.
To live on a farm.
To live on a
Yes.
farm, yes. All right, let's jump in. We have not a lot going on, but there's a couple little things. And I have like to start off, I thought we should talk about the kind of the two Apple TV Plus shows that are happening. And I have actually two articles for that because one is the kind of both of them, and then one is specifically about the promotions that Apple is doing around Severance, but they kind of blend together. So, it's a big day today. I mean, Severance is returning for season two, and at the same time, the season finale of Silo is or has happened. Actually, it's already posted. I've not showed it. We will not spoil anything. We will stay away from that. But in general terms, like, what are your thoughts about that? Like it, didn't like it. Did you watch the season of Silo? Are you excited about Severance?
I really, really like the season of Silo. I'm actually about a third of the way through the season finale,
Good.
but I mean the way that this has brought new characters into the fray, really expanded the lore of the Silo.
It.
Yeah, we're really starting to get some answers why. Thankfully, also introducing new questions.
It's kind of, I think that's kind of what Silo does in general. Like I mean, I think we've talked about that in the past. I've read all the books. They don't answer all the questions. They actually probably pose more questions at the end.
Yes, and I do have to say, We know who built the silo, and
Mm-hmm.
thank God Apple stepped in and fixed all his sloppy writing.
Yes. No, I'm with you, and I think Jeff would wholeheartedly, he's probably right now screaming at his phone and saying absolutely yes. Yeah, we've mentioned that. Yeah, but I'm with you. Like, it's, I haven't watched the finale yet, but I mean, season one, I had some problems with some characters, and except for Rebecca Ferguson's Juliet character, none of them really grabbed me too much. And this season, I was pleasantly surprised that there were a ton of other also very interesting characters, and hers was actually less important almost, I would say.
Yeah, and I do have to say, I really like, I never thought he would be a great actor, but Common has really taken off with what he's been given.
That's
I
true.
mean, first season, he was just kind of this menacing presence.
Yeah, kind of
This
bland as well.
season, yeah, this season, that character has been given a lot to work with, has really been fleshed out. And honestly, you don't know which way he's going to end up going.
That is true, yeah. I mean, there have been a bunch of surprises, as I said, without spoiling anything. How about you, Chuck? Like, did you watch it? Are you interested?
So I am a little embarrassed to admit this. I watched season one. I loved season one. Season two was premiering just about the time that life was getting really busy for me.
That does
And
happen,
so
yeah.
I started to watch, and then I thought, you know what? This is just not going to work. I'm not going to be able to dedicate enough time. And I know, it's technically only an hour a week, but it really has gotten that crazy that I didn't want to lose the impact, so I just stopped. And I'm going to restart now, any second now, probably after the CES videos. But I really want to be able to sit down and not be working on one thing while watching it
Yeah,
off to the side.
distracted.
Silo
Yeah.
just, yes, Silo feels like one of those and this may segue into Severance too, but it's one of those shows that I want to give my full attention to so that I can really enjoy the subtleties of it. So that's coming up. But that said, I had no problems with season one. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've learned about myself that I sort of like things that almost start in the middle and you sort of have to figure out where you are.
Yes,
And
yeah,
that's
I like that
as
too.
opposed,
Yes.
well, as opposed, and look, I'm a pretty harsh critic of network TV because network TV is like, okay, we're going to spoon feed you everything. And there's no thinking involved. You sit there and absorb it.
Yeah.
But here, in season one, you sort of,
You get dropped
what are
into
they?
the silo and you're like, you're in there, and then stuff happens, and then you start to figure out what's going on step by step.
Exactly. And there are these little
Yeah.
mysteries that you're given. And so I love the first season.
Yeah.
And it's taken a great deal of discipline to say, just let season two sit on the shelf, let it all get out, and let my schedule calm down. So I'm really excited about it.
Me too. You're absolutely right. Like typical network TV, we would have gotten like a big introduction of what is the silo, how does it work, what are the roles and whatever, all of that. We would have got that first, and then we get to the story. And here, and I mean, to the credit of you, Howie, yes, I know he needs an editor, but that's how this book also is. He does not really explain all too much. Like it just it it's you get dropped in, you learn, and you learn with the char I mean, the characters know more than you in the beginning, and then you learn through the mysteries and through what they do and how they interact and so on. You learn what the rules are of the silo, really.
And I mean the whole th thing about the cleaning speech, we don't know who built the silo. We don't know
Yeah,
what
well,
year it
spoilers for
is.
season one, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Episode one of season one.
Yes, I think it's okay at this point. Yeah.
But you know what? The other thing too, I have friends that are put off by a silo style story or that structure. They want that spoon feed. They want to know what's going on from day one or even from scene one. And it's like, Okay, you know, good for you. Then there are shows for you,
Yes.
and
Yeah.
go enjoy them. And not all of those are bad either. Let's be
Yeah,
real clear on
exactly.
that.
No,
It's
I'm a firm believer of there is a show for a time. Like I watch so many different shows at so many different
yeah.
times. Sometimes I need a show, I mean also a little bit ADHD. I need a show that distracts my brain enough that I can work. That spoon feeding is totally perfect for that because my brain
Yes.
shouldn't be too engaged to do that. So a show where I don't know, I need subtitles or translations, it's foreign language or whatever, is not going to work for that. Or a show like Silo where I really have to pay or have to and want to pay attention, it's not going to work for
Yeah.
that. But then there's times where I really want to do exactly that, engage my brain, use it, and really have a cool experience, and that's what this show is for.
Yep. And if you kind of want this same premise, but this silo is a little bit too heavy for you, there's always Fallout.
True, yes.
Because they're basically the same plot.
Yeah, I mean the plot is yeah, there's many similar ideas like this is yeah, but it's a for me a unique approach to it, definitely.
I'm trying to figure out exactly how, because Patrice, you said it well. There's a place. You are right. You know, some of those spoon feed shows
Yeah.
are perfect for having
Yeah.
on. You want to watch them, but you don't have to pick up
Yeah.
every little aspect of it. And at the risk of taking this into a larger discussion, I feel like that might be one of the reasons that Apple TV's genre shows are so good. Because that seems to be a character, not of all of them, but of a number of them, where you aren't spoon fed. You have to sort of figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
One of my favorites still is Dark Matter, and no spoilers there.
Yeah.
But if you like the idea of being dropped into something that it's like,
Yes.
what
Oh,
the heck was that?
literally.
Yeah,
Literally.
you know, that's
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so
Yeah.
I enjoy that kind of thing. And if you
Yeah.
do, then the Apple TV Plus genre shows especially are for
Yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think a lot of the Apple TV, not all, but a lot of the shows do that. I was just thinking C did that, for example. We literally get dropped into the world of C, the beginning. The morning show to some extent did that. There's a lot. I mean, there are some shows that didn't do that. Kind of Dickinson is more like that because it's not very heavy on like having to learn a lot of things. Like, okay,
Yep.
most people know Dickinson, Emily Dickinson, and so on.
Asimov, Dune,
Yeah.
aka Foundation.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Get dropped in and then you figure it out. Yeah. But I mean, I'm
Yeah.
with you. I also sometimes have that problem. Like sometimes I don't want that and sometimes it's just too much.
Yeah. I mean, even For All Mankind,
Yeah.
because that the
Yeah.
general idea, the concept there was pretty well known before you started
Yes.
watching it.
Yeah.
But even there, you sort of had to figure out, okay, just at what point has history diverged and how
Yeah.
much has it diverged?
I
So.
would say that is probably one of the ones that are closer to spoon feeding because it starts with something that I think almost everybody knows. It does show it still, and then it starts to diverge and I mean goes from there simply. So I would
Yeah.
say because it is so different, that's probably the closest you will get. Nothing comes to
I
mind
would
that's
agree.
closer to that.
I would agree, Patrice. And for that show, I think it works.
Yeah, totally,
Yeah.
100%. It's great. Because
So, yeah.
after that everything else is simply different and you there is no I mean you it's not spoon feeding, it's simply the story is now different. So you have to tell it because that's what makes the story. So there's
Yeah.
only that tiny little thing at the beginning where they really start. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Cool. Yeah, so seasons 3 and 4 are already ordered. I think we've heard this week or last week or fairly recently that they've started shooting. So yeah, I think probably next year we'll get another season.
Yep, and it's not that they can't go beyond that. That's literally the conclusion of the story. That's
Yes.
the end of the books.
Yeah, so they've promised at least they're gonna finish the books if it's successful. And I think there is, I mean, honestly, that is one of the book series where I'm like, hey, there is so much to discover in this world. We've seen very little, literally. If you have read the books, you know. There's so much to still do and discover and so on, that I could see them continuing with that.
Yeah.
Especially since they've already diverged a little bit, because which I actually really like, because I think that makes it more interesting as well. Like, there's little differences that are significant, and so why not continue, right?
Yeah.
Evolve
and
it.
the reason they do that, no book to screen adaptations do not work completely.
No.
I mean, if you look at Expanse, literally, yep. The writers of the books were very active on the yep. TV show,
yep.
And they specifically made alterations for it to work on TV.
Yes, yeah, it's a different medium, and I always see it like it's an evolvement. It's like the story, the world is evolving, and why shouldn't it evolve also sometimes in different ways?
But so, Patrice, mm-hmm. without doing any spoilers,
mm-hmm.
Are the books for Silo, I don't know how else to say it, are they worth reading once you've seen the TV series?
Yes.
Or because I know you just mm-hmm. said they're divergent, but
yeah.
it's sometimes even with the divergence or the little changes, I'm disappointed in books that are based on, well, I guess the other way around.
In this case, the other
books
way
that, yeah, that you know that yeah. that are the basis for a TV show that I've enjoyed or a movie I've enjoyed.
For me, I mean, I think after I don't know episode one or two of Silo, because I didn't know about this story, I grabbed the books because I just wanted to know how it continues, and I was very, very, very happy that I did. I've listened to them since like 4 or 5 times already.
Yeah.
I love that series. I love the books. I love what happens. I mean, I always say you haven't seen anything yet in the TV show. There is so much more to
yeah.
come that you have not seen. I
yeah.
personally think yes, but if you are the type of person who would be off-put by knowing roughly what will happen, and as we know, the show is different, there will be probably differences. But the general direction of the show is still the same, like base storyline. That much I think we can see. If you're disappointed or if you're bothered by knowing what will happen in the show to some extent, even if you don't know the details and exactly how the characters do it, or if you're bothered that there's differences between the book and the movie, then don't read the book. Depends on you as a person,
okay.
how you what you like or not like. But I really enjoyed it, and I'm very happy that I did read them, and I'm even actually more excited about the show now because I know what I get to see, and I want to know how they're going to do that.
Yeah, and I do have to say, even having read the Cliff Notes,
mm-hmm.
season two did not go entirely how I expected.
No.
Because I think they actually drag stuff out a lot longer than I thought they would.
Some of it, yes. And then other things happened earlier than I would have expected. So, yes. So, as I said, it is different enough that it's not, oh, this is like 100% the same story, and now I know exactly what's going to happen. And I think that is sometimes also important. Like, if you don't, like, sometimes you don't want the book to spoil everything. If they're literally word for word doing it exactly the same, then you've basically watched the show and you don't have to watch it again because you've read mm-hmm. the book. That would be boring. I get that. So.
Yeah.
But no, I'm actually, as I said, I'm more excited now about the show than I was even before, and I was very excited before. So I'm also very happy that Apple extended. Moving on to Severance, because we talked about the Silo that has just ended way more than I thought. Severance is starting
here.
Today. And Apple did a really interesting promotion I think a couple days ago at Grand Central Terminal. So they literally put up a box in Grand Central Terminal that you could look into that was kind of, I don't know, if you had cut out part of the office basically of what's it called? Lumen Industries.
Yep.
And they had actors in there, not the Severance people, like the actors that play like Britt Lauer, Adam Scott, Tremell Tillman, I think, Zach Cherry, and so on. They came later, so they it did actually show up and work there a little bit, but they had other actors in there that kind of, like, literally, they did everything that the Severance people would be doing in an office, like, including getting food and, I don't know, building paper planes and, like, all the little silly stuff that they did. And as I said, the cast did at some point show up, so that was really cool. I really liked that. Is that something that you would have liked to have seen, Chuck?
I'm not sure that kind of promotion resonates with me personally, but but I am delighted to see this, because when we've talked about this on, I think, everybody's shows, that one of the downfalls of Apple TV Plus has been the lack of promotion and the lack of attention.
True.
So many great shows that have not gotten the proper attention, you know, because the world we live in, if you don't promote it, you know, people don't know about it. So these kind of things, I mean, Severance really struck a nerve, whether it was because of the pandemic and or not, but one way or another, it struck a nerve. And now someone in marketing is figuring out, we need to keep this running. We need to keep it in front of people.
Yeah.
So I think this is dynamite. And I have thoroughly enjoyed season one. I'm looking forward to season two after I get finished with Silo. But, you know, same kind of thing. You know, I just think that so many of the shows we've talked about, you mentioned Dickinson earlier, that got, as someone who didn't care about it, I barely heard about it.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I don't
love,
you know,
it. And, it's one of my favorites.
And, and that to me is part of the challenge that Apple TV Plus has not addressed. So I don't
part
really
of
much
the challenge
care what
Apple
they...
has, to be honest, right? I have a feeling Apple has that problem on a bigger scale. If it's not the iPhone, maybe the Mac. We're getting into territory where I'm like, sometimes Apple seems to struggle with getting the word out.
Yeah, that's a really fair point, Patrice.
Yeah, I mean, Apple has kind of this thing where it's so on top with the iPhone that it doesn't remember what it's like to struggle.
Yeah, and I think they also, I have a feeling they kind of, in the meantime, expect that everybody is paying attention to everything they do because of the kind of glass cube that they sit in with the iPhone, where like any little movement on the iPhone is like blasted by the press worldwide automatically. Apple barely has to do anything. Like they put a press release out and like everybody has it, like Wall Street Journal and everything. And that's not true for everything, because of course they're not doing that for every little other product. And Apple, I think, struggles with that a little bit, or doesn't see it.
Yeah,
maybe.
But I mean, we really haven't seen this kind of promotion from Apple for any show other than Ted Lasso.
True.
And I'm very glad that they are, because this show is truly special.
Yeah, I mean, that's also true. You can't do it for everything. Yeah. By the way, Adam Scott, they sat in the cube for like a couple hours, and he said, none of us got to pee for 3 hours. So.
Didn't need to know that. But but, you know, Patrice, the other thing, too, I think is especially cool about this is that it was not just Stooges that came in.
Yeah.
It was the stars of the show that actually came in and, you know, played the parts in front of a sort of
and,
a live audience, if you
and
will.
Not for like 3 seconds or a minute or five, and someone does a video and then that's it. Like for a couple hours. They literally played the part in real life almost for like a couple hours.
Yeah, I feel like these, if we could, I don't know, you couldn't do it with Silo. You'd have to build a Silo. I get it. But if you could do some more of these things, you know, that I think it would draw a lot of attention, not just to the show itself, but to the platform.
Yeah.
And because people come and they're a little bit more curious about it. I don't know about you guys. I get so tired of, okay, so a show is coming up or a movie's coming up, and you can just see the okay, we're going to do the promotional tour. We're going to hit the morning shows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're going to hit the late shows. Then we're going to hit the late shows.
Yeah.
And it's like,
Yeah, maybe a radio show or a podcast in between, but it's kind of all the same.
Yeah, and it's like, here's something, here's a brand new thing that Apple does so well. They come up with a crazy offbeat idea, and it's gotten a lot of coverage. So let's forego some of the usual things, because honestly, the audiences for those are starting to age out a bit, and until or unless they adapt, it's just not going to be the same publicity machine. You're not going to get the same value out of the publicity machine.
Yeah. I mean, even for that reason that it's all been done before, so there's nothing exciting about it, so the people don't get excited about it anymore. It's like, oh, it's the 100th show that's doing it like that. It's like, oh, okay, another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Should we do another article? I have one more.
Why not?
I have one more for you. So,
One more thing.
Well, in this case, literally, Apple did a one more thing, kind of, when it shared a couple of photos of its upcoming store at MixC Hi-Fi. I don't know how to pronounce that in China, like a new store, and it revealed kind of a new design element, a new design. I would say almost getting back to the roots. In a way, with a combined Genius Bar and pickup station. I mean, it kind of does remind me of the old Genius Bar, where like you could go and get everything. I mean, all the servers, everything was kind of at the Genius Bar, right? Do you think?
To be honest,
based on the pictures. Sorry, Ben. Go ahead.
This makes a lot of sense. As someone who worked in the Geek Squad back in the day, having your pickup in the Genius Bar, you know, let's just say you have any questions, you don't have to have the salesperson go like, okay, we're going to set you up with an appointment at the Genius Bar to answer those questions. They're right there.
Yeah.
If they need to be shown something, they're right there. If it's a phone and you need setup questions, they're right there.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, kind of making the whole either support or pickup experience, I mean, either direction, so much better. And I mean, keep in mind, sometimes people come for both, right? They're there to pick something up, but they also, while they're there, they have some questions, something to repair or whatever it is. Something they want to buy in addition, like all of it. Yeah, I like that design. I mean, I don't think it's an accident that Apple is doing it this way. It's like Chinese New Year right now. There's a new store being opened. Pretty big country and still very big market for them that they're paying a lot of attention to. Also, most of their stuff still is produced, despite all the political things that are happening around that.
You know, I have to say, though, because I've picked up things at the Apple store before, and usually the way that it works, at least at the stores where I've been in, is you don't get 3, 4, or 5 feet inside the store before somebody asks if they can help you.
Yes.
And they channel you to wherever they need to go. Now, it may be the photography of this store based on this article or not. This looks like a really massive store. Footprint wise, so that just may not be exactly the same kind of option, and it may make more sense to have someplace. On the other hand, though, isn't it sort of logical that since there are no obvious counters or checkout places or whatever in the Apple stores we all know, that it would be logical to go straight to the back where there's a table and people behind that table, and you know, get the information. So that this just may be a natural extension of that and a leveraging of the fact that you don't have an obvious checkout area.
Yeah.
Not anymore. I mean, they used to, but that's true. They don't have it anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing here, I mean, honestly, this is a staged PR photo.
Of course. Yes.
Oh, sure.
Might even be at this point a rendering, like it's not even an actual photo.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, but even so, I mean, I would find it hard to believe that they would render something out that did not, that if you showed up to the store, didn't look like the store.
No, 100%. Yes.
So, you know,
Yeah.
this
Yeah.
is, it's either a photorealistic
Yeah.
representation or it's a real
Yeah.
representation, as Ben
Yeah.
said, staged.
Yeah.
But
But
it is a big space.
yeah, I mean, one thing I can guarantee you, the space is probably never, unless the store is closed, never going to look like that. Because it's
No.
probably going to
Yeah.
be packed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, but that's one of the things I really like. I like the aesthetics of Apple stores. I like wood, I like all the, like, there's stuff in there that I'm like, where the hell can I buy that? Because I like their tables, for example, very much. Stuff like that. So,
Yep,
there's
it's only $1 million.
probably is. I mean, with the magnetic opening, drawers they have and all of that, yeah. Probably not that far. No, well, maybe a little. But probably more than $1,000, I would say.
But we're right back to it. You know, there's the design aesthetic. Boy, I'm having a hard time this morning. Design aesthetic, but it's also completely functional. You know, there's a reason for everything. It's
Yes.
it there 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 is, if you really stop and think about an Apple store, there's nothing anywhere that doesn't have a function, with the possible exception of any decorations they have in the window to pull you in. And even those have a
And
purpose.
even
Yeah.
that is, I mean, that is very little that they actually do. They have little things. It's not like overflowing. It's like one or two things because most people get drawn in just by the windows and what they can see through it. Yeah, but you're right. I mean,
Yeah.
there everything, including seats and trees and whatever, everything has a function in some way or form. Like whether it's to make a space exciting for you or interesting for you to stay in or to stay longer in, so that you potentially buy something, that you just enjoy being there, stuff like that. I mean, everything, it literally every little thing in this store has a function. There's none of it is accidental, including the color of shirts and all of that. All of that is planned.
Which in
The
this
third.
case is very intentional,
Yes.
because the color red is extremely important in Chinese culture.
Yes. Yeah. The third mentioned that he went into his local store and there was someone standing in the corridor, literally only taking payments. So just doing all the checkouts and whatever. So yeah, that's not, I've not seen that very much, but I could, I mean, around Christmas especially, I could see that. It's literally because there's probably so many people buying things that the normal process kind of gets overwhelmed by it, and there's literally just one person doing just checkouts all the time. Yeah, it's very cool.
And you compare the Apple store experience, and I know this sounds very, you know, frou-frou and all, but you compare the experience there with going into almost any other store, and it's just different. And
Yes.
if that kind of thing is important to you, great. I mean, and if it's not important to you, you're still going to enjoy it. You're still going to appreciate the efficiency of finding what you want, getting it, and getting out. If you're in a hurry, you can get in and get out. If you're not in a hurry, you can hang around and
Yes.
salivate over all the products.
Yes, exactly. Last word on that. Apple is op also opening a new store at the Miami World Center complex on Friday. So this store opens January 18th at 10 a.m. local time, wherever that is in China. I looked clicked on the website to see if but I can't read Chinese, so I don't even know where that is. And in the Miami store, January 24th, so a week later, Friday instead of Saturday. And it's also renovating to other stores. That's what the article says, in Florida and in Texas. So more stuff coming. And please, Apple, we need a second store in Austria and especially one in Portugal, because Portugal doesn't even have one. So get on that. If you need help, you know where to find me. Not that I know anything, but anyway, yeah, I think let's talk about the chat real quick and then let's do cool things. I think nothing else really interesting happening this week. Yeah, we have a really cool live chat. I should mention that. We're recording this every week on, we have a live streaming system, live.britishtechnetwork.com. If you go there, Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, 4 to, let's say, 5:30-ish usually, 4-ish we start and whatever, however long it takes us. Or Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show where we talk about everything but Apple. Like Apple is usually banned at during that show because otherwise we would be talking about that all the time because that's the people we are mostly. Not all of us, but mostly. Yeah, Friday Thursdays we talk about like chip designs and games and space and cars and like all the other fun stuff. CES came up a little bit here and there because there were some interesting things happening, of course. As we established earlier. Yeah, live.britishtechnetwork.com, and there's literally on the sidebar a live chat. And if you go in there while we're recording, we're in there, you can talk to us, you can interact with us, you see the links we're posting for the cool things, for example, right now. I bet Ben is gonna post another link, whatever, the cat. Yeah, and super easy to use. So literally, it's on the sidebar. You go to the website, the stream. It's like YouTube. Stream on the left, chat on the right. Start typing. It's not rocket science. The cool thing about this is all Fediverse based. So if you have a Mastodon, I think Threads should work by now. Pixel Fed, all the and some of the other or all of the others, at least everything that is federated. Thank you, Ben. Then you can also follow us there. You will get notified if there's a new like when we start streaming, all of that might be interesting for you. It generates really funny names. Like, what did it do for Chuck earlier? I forgot. Silly Newman? No, Cranky Johnson
Yes.
was you, right? Oh no,
Cranky Johnson.
Yeah,
Cranky
Cranky
Johnson.
Johnson's one. Yeah, that I've
Both actually.
adopted.
Silly Newman, Cranky Johnson, and then Chuck. So it does generate sometimes very interesting names. Vigorous Keller, Vigilant Kilby. Reverend Trinity is in here. Objective pain with a Y. So just like sometimes fun names it generates for you, but you can change it. Just up top, there's a little purple drop down thingy. You click on it, say change name, and that's it. You can also authorize it through your Fediverse account, whatever you have, and then you get a little checkbox that says yes, we know you. But you don't have to. Literally, just open the thing, go to the chat window, start typing. You literally have to do nothing else. It automatically works. So highly recommend that. And if you don't want to, or you can't, or you miss it, or you want to go back to it, or any of those reasons or more, we also have a transcript for all our chats. So all the links we post, all the things we talk about, everything gets put on our website, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. That's where you head to in your browser. And select the date, which for today is January 17th, 2024, January 17th, 2024. And if you select that date in the calendar, it shows you will see what we talked about in the chat today. And now let's do some cool things. So, Chuck, what do you have for us? He's like,
Oh,
surprise, it's a cool thing.
I am not. I am. Listen, this is my first show back.
First joke.
I am
So not
so.
ready.
I'm so
Okay,
not
then
ready. So, Ben,
let's
what's
skip
your
into
cool
it.
thing? Well, I find one.
Well, I already put it in the chat here. It is a show on Amazon Prime called On Call.
Ooh, nice.
Yep. Yes. If anybody remembered the old show called Southland, where it pairs a trading officer with a rookie cop. This is a lot the same. It basically starts out with a murder. And these two patrol officers, basically throughout their normal duties, kind of have to hunt down this murder.
Interesting.
It's really well done. You really, it's done in a way where you kind of feel that same stress that the officers do. It's done in the LA suburb of Long Beach, so it's not a pure Southland copy. Which I'm sorry to the Long Beach PD, but a couple friends of mine have had chuckles about the mean streets of Long Beach. But I mean, if you're looking into that LA street level cop drama, this, I mean, it's half an hour, so it's pretty fast paced per episode. There's only six episodes or eight episodes. But
Which is pretty
it's,
typical, right,
yeah.
for like shows these
Yep.
days.
Yep. And I do have to say something about the lead actress, Troyann Belisario. Some people might remember her from this little teen drama called Pretty Little Liars. Some people might remember her as being the daughter or the daughter of prolific creator Donald P. Belisario. But she really makes this her own. Her character is pretty much unrecognizable from anything you've seen. You really feel for this character. It's completely no nonsense. It's what you would expect a field training officer to be.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, there's some good actors also that I see on the list. Pretty cool.
And the funny thing is, the one actor you kind of expect to be the lead of this is the one who gets murdered right off the bat.
That's the best.
Yeah, so
Like
I mean, literally, when you have Monica Raymond, who is a known television act, being murdered right away, you feel that instant kind of connection to that character. So you feel that shock.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, also Lori Loughlin is like pretty well known, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. I like when they have like not well-known actors and then but in very unusual roles. I like doing that. Cool. Thank you. That is a really cool thing. Did you find one in the meantime, or should I go first? It's okay.
Go ahead, Patrice. I'm
Okay.
working on what I want to deliver. So yes,
Okay. So
I've got it. I just have to fix it.
no worries. I have an app. It's actually from a German developer. If you go to the website, there is some rather funny English translations I found, or not translated things here and there. So very interesting. The app is called Intoler App. So it is for people that have intolerances of some sort that might either be not very typical, so it's listed like peanuts are very often listed on labels on food, but other things are not always. There's like a million other intolerances or allergies you might have that are not typically labeled because then the label would be 10,000 miles long. But are still relevant for you. Like for me, for example, like alpha-gal, where I have to pay attention to any kind of mammal meat products and not make sure that I don't have them in whatever I'm buying. And I've run into problems with that. So this app is actually pretty cool because it's available for a bunch of countries and different languages. They have kind of food databases. If there's something missing, you can always submit it, which is pretty cool. So there's some, like sometimes you scan something and it's like, okay, I know what that product is, but I have no information whether it's safe or not. And then you can yourself maybe also, as far as I know, you can do that yourself. You can submit that info and say, yeah, this is fine because whatever. But it's basically, yeah, you point it at a product and it will tell you if it's safe. And if it's not listed as safe and it is known safe, then it will tell you, I don't know. And if it's known that it's not safe, definitely, then it will also tell you, okay, definitely not safe. So it's very simple, very, easy to use. There's a pro plan, sort of the basic. I don't remember what the difference was, to be honest, but there's a subscription, as there always is, for a pro plan. but it's not that much, to be honest. It's like, what was it, $25 a year or something, if I remember correctly. Let me see, it's on the website. And yeah, $25 a year, exactly. Or $60 lifetime if you want to. And yeah, it's like you get all the free scans and you can select your intolerances in the free version. But if you really want to search for a product, if you want to have more individualized things, if you want to have grace periods, maybe something you can't use for a little while because of other medication you're taking, but then afterwards it's fine again. Like, I don't know, grapefruit is very common for that because it interacts with a lot of things. Then, yeah, you can also do that. And that's the pro version, it's at $25 a year. Or if you really enjoy it, pick $60, it's yours. It's available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. So if you want that, and as I said, it's a guy from Germany. So that's why half of the website is still in German. But I've tried it and it works really well. Like I was in Portugal and I scanned stuff there and didn't expect it to work, but it actually did. So I scanned my Coke and it told me it was safe. And I'm yeah, okay, I knew that, but it's good to know, for example. Yeah, so if you have anything like that, any allergies, any intolerances, any other things where you're like, I'm eating gluten-free, I'm eating no sweeteners, like even for stuff like that, it's like quite useful because it's quite flexible to configure. It can even scan the labels. That's why it supports languages, because even if it's not listed, it can still, you can hold it up to the labels and it will tell you what it can detect and whether that's safe or not. So, yeah, good app. Highly recommended. Intoler app.
Cool. Nice pick.
Good.
All
What?
right, so I'm
Now about you, Chuck.
yes, so I'm sorry, I'm just not in the rhythm yet.
All good. We've
I
all
think I'm
been
still
there.
catching up, on sleep. And now I have succeeded in losing the chat. Oh boy, I tell you, it is one of those mornings.
Yeah. If not, just send it to me.
What
I'll put it in.
did I do with it? Okay, I'll put it in the individual. No, there it is. There it is. No,
Okay.
yeah, got it. Okay. I got too many images of all of us around. So I'm going to sort of default to something that we use to record the interviews at
Okay. Where did you
CES.
put it? Oh, there it is. Just took a while to.
Yes. This is the DJI Pocket Creator or Pocket 2.
Ah,
This was something
nice.
that there were a lot of them around. It is so small, almost universally. If you went up to a booth and somebody said, "Where's the camera?" and you pointed to it, it's like, "That's a camera." It is absolutely a phenomenal. It is 4K. It has automatic follow. It has a lot of bells and whistles, and it does just a terrific, terrific job. And I'm happy to say you can go if you watch the CES coverage and see, kind of just how good the images can be.
I've seen a ton of people with that. Also with the little clip-on microphone, if you get the creator combo, I've seen a ton
Yes,
of people like that.
and Patrice, that was the second point. If you're going to do it, spend the extra dollars and get the creator combo because it is so worth it. There's so much value in that combo, from the little case, the battery, the lanyard, a little tripod that it depends on what you like or don't like, might or might not apply to you. It's well worth the money. Now, before we go on though, I am going to say that there is a new version which is significantly more expensive, but it does have one really big advantage, and it's been tempting me, and I have not succumbed yet. But because of the size of the pocket, the screen on the Pocket 2 is very, very small. Okay, the Pocket 3 has a larger screen that fits the same body but can be rotated 90 degrees so that you have something that is a bit more widescreen and a bit easier to see. So there's some other niceties, but that's the big one. Depending on how you shoot or what you shoot, or whether you shoot with a partner or if you're a solo shooter,
Whether
it
you
might be
shoot
worth the
vertical or
money.
horizontal, it seems to like you can do
Vertical.
that, which is cool.
You can definitely do that, and if you're able to frame it a little more logically, you can still frame it in the on the two. It's just that you end up with black bars, showing what you're doing. So, but I can't recommend these highly enough. We've not lost any interviews that weren't attributable to human error. Last year we did lose
Okay.
one, and I was the human that erred. So, but the quality is amazing. And the fact that you're not carrying around, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, an iPhone is not that heavy, an iPad is not that heavy. This is lighter.
And
this you can mount.
Yeah. And I think the form factor is also better because it's kind of, I don't want, it's almost like a stick. It's almost like a tripod, right? Or like, sorry, a monopod
yes.
that you hold like that. The phone is wider
right.
and that gets a little bit more fatiguing because you have to hold it like that and it's a screen and don't touch anything or whatever. But because of it's kind of, as I said, kind of almost like a tripod that you can hold with a camera on top. So I've seen you.
Yeah.
I've seen you in some videos walk around with that, and it's really like I really think this works really well.
It does. I was really hesitant to give up my old rig of you know, because we were using an iPad, and that had a lot of advantages, not the least of which is this big, beautiful, basically viewfinder to frame. I just triggered my camera. But you know, that said. I find this so much easier because it takes up less room. It's a little less likely to be knocked over by somebody that's not paying attention because it's not quite as top heavy as the iPad on a tripod would be. But I just can't say enough good things about this. If you have the extra money and want to spend it for that little screen and again some of the other niceties, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, if you buy either one of these, get the creator of the pack though, because it is well worth it. You're going to end up buying at least half, if not more, of those accessories individually and spending more money.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering whether you couldn't use your iPad with that still to kind of have a control monitor or something. Like if you have two people, one person does that or has the audio maybe.
there is an app that'll let you do that
so
that you don't that you can absolutely take advantage of it.
Wow.
That's it. There's so many features to this thing, and it's one of those things that somebody said, okay, we want to make a, without making a Blackmagic camera, we want to make something that is capable of doing a lot of professional work and not have to carry around a ton of equipment. And DJI has absolutely succeeded.
They do, yeah. That's so cool. I mean, the three is definitely almost twice the price than the two, but also has a ton more features. So,
yeah.
If you care about them, like that's the question.
But Patrice, you took it right out of my mouth. You know, if before you spend that extra $300 or so, you know, take a look at all the features and really think about it. Because the features that you've got in the two, I know I don't use so many of the features in the two because they just don't apply to what I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, check it out. But any way you take it, if you're looking for a camera that you're going to do any kind of off-site shooting with, take a good hard look at this because it is well worth the effort.
Very cool. I like that. I think we all... Well, not everybody needs something like that, but I think we're all in the group that potential needs something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you
so
much.
Hopefully that was worth waiting for.
Absolutely. 100%. You blew us completely away with that one. 100%. All right. Good.
Ben is stroking his card again.
I think that card is glowing at this point.
Yeah.
Don't blacklight it.
Another show title. All right. Speaking of show titles, and we should just wrap up the show. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Thank you to the chat room as well for talking to us and being there with us. Thanks, everybody, for, like, you're in the panel for being here. Chuck, thanks. Thank you for coming back and doing this with us, and even though you're maybe a little bit sleep-deprived still. And let the people know where they can find everything about you and especially also all the awesome CES and other content.
MacVoices.com. That's where you can find it. You can watch it live on the screen. We also have YouTube, Vimeo, and Facebook channels that you can see the video there. We promote it across all the social medias where I'm listed as at Chuck Joyner. And of course, you can subscribe to the audio and video versions by podcast. So any, it's all the same. Nothing gets sequestered off to one area or another. So just choose your poison and join me, because we walk you around the show floor and we have a great time, and hopefully you will too.
I think you will. Absolutely think you will. And make voices, as chaotic as it is sometimes, it's always a blast. No, that's kind of why it works.
I think I now have a show title myself.
Okay. Ben, thanks for suffering through this, even though you're not 100%. Thanks for joining us and making this work for us today. And where can people find you and I don't know, your glowing credit? No. Just you.
Yes. you can find my writings and ravings at wraithigtech.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on social media at Ben Wraithig on pretty much all of them. You can also find me on such podcasts as In Touch with iOS, Mac Voices with this Chuck Joyner guy. I don't know. Maybe it's Cranky Johnson. And here on the British Tech Network on the Big and Mac shows.
Thank you. Yeah, British. I always like how you pronounce the British Tech Network. I can't do it. You're better at it.
Yeah, the reason I pronounce it that way, there is this internet sensation named Lawrence on the internet. He's from England, moved to Chicago. I just copy him.
Well, you're very good at that, at least. Very cool. Yeah. You can find me also here, usually on this show every week, Big Show and Mac Show, except for the weeks I'm traveling. That happens every couple of weeks. Then I can't do it, of course. You can find out everything I'm doing on my website, thebatteries.com, takes you there. And I have a show with the aforementioned iHost I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Jeff Gamet, called Retro Rewatch. We're about to, I forgot, I should post another episode. We have kind of a little special thing planned for this week, so there will be a special episode coming up. And then we're going straight into season 2, episode 1, and are going to resolve the cliffhanger of Stargate SG-1 of the first season. Yeah. Of the end of the first season. So you can look forward to that. Lot of fun. RetroRewatch.com. You can find all of us, the British Tech Network, on, well, BritishTechNetwork.com, of course, but also on Mastodon at BritishTech@TechHangout.social. And when I get to it, also on Blue Sky, BritishTechNetwork.com. I'll register that. So no worries. And yeah, with that, thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Ewan, for joining us and for making, well, joining not us today, but usually, hopefully soon again, and for making this network and getting us all together many, many, many years ago. And yeah, talk to you next week.